Parshas Vayishlach. About 20 years ago or so, I was sitting in the Gral Shul, the Mabbat Shemesh Aleph, the shul that I used to daven in, and it was Sunday morning, Parshas Vayishlach. And somebody asked me the following question. He said, how can it be that in the beginning of this week's parasha we find that Esau comes to attack Yaakov, clearly with intent to kill him? Something doesn't quite add up over here, because at the end of Parshas Toldot, he clearly says that he's going to wait for his father to die. The pasuk says, Yikruvu Yemei Avel Ovi, let me wait for my father to die, as Rashi explains, that he did not want to be Messiah, he didn't want to cause any distress for his father, meaning that essentially he would have wanted to have killed him straight away. But no, Kibudad, so he waited and waited, but he didn't seem quite to wait till his father indeed died. Yitzchak is still very much alive at this time, so how on earth did Esau come to attack? That was the question he asked me about 20 years ago or so. So I'd like to share with you a possible approach, and this is based on what I once heard from the Mashkiach, the Matityahu Salomon, Shlita Sheyarech, Yomim Veshonim. It was many, many years ago. I was just married, I was living in Yerushalayim, and Rav Matityahu came to Eretz Yisrael and he spoke in the shul that I was davening in one Friday night, and it was Parshas Vayishlach. And he said there a tremendous insight into the beginning of this week's parasha. And he asked the following question. This seems, let's put aside Yitzchak's death or otherwise, let's put that to the side for the moment. It seems a very strange choice of time for Esau to come and kill Yaakov now. Why now? He knew full well where he was, presumably with Laban all these years, and he didn't come to attack him. Over 20 years he was with Laban, and he could have come at any time with his 400 men, and he did not do so. Yaakov is eventually on his return, so let him come home and then deal with him. Why was this the particular choice of time that Esau chose to go and kill Yaakov? That was his question. Why not before? Why not after? And he explained a tremendous yesod. And this is a very, very important and fundamental understanding in the whole relationship between Yaakov and Esau. And it all begins with those famous words when Yitzchak, in the dramatic scene of the bracha, says, Hakoil koil Yaakov v'hayodayim yidei Esau. This is, on the one hand, the voice of Yaakov. On the other, it seems to be the hands of Esau. Now, the literal understanding was, of course, Yitzchak seemed on the surface to be confused. He's talking like Yaakov, his arms feel like Esau. But the Medrash Chazal HaKadoshim teach us that therein lies the terrific struggle, the difficult relationship between Esau and Yaakov. And the Medrash says as follows. The Medrash tells us that the Goyim came on one occasion to Bilam HaRosha, and they wanted to attack Klal Yisrael. And Bilam said, before you do anything, go to the Beit HaMidrash, go to the Bote Knesios, and if you find that they are full of Klal Yisrael learning, you must realize that there is no chance. Why? So he said the following words: Bizman, at the time, Shekoiloi Shel Yaakov Motsui the Bote Knesioi, when the Koil of Yaakov is to be heard, meaning the Koil of Torah is to be heard, then Ein Hayodayim Gidei Esau, then the hands of Esau are powerless. The Imlar, if you do not, however, hear the sound of Yaakov, the Koil Yaakov, that is when the Yadayim Yidei Esau can operate. This medrash is a terrifically important medrash. Hakol Kol Yaakov and the Yadayim Yidei Esau represent the inverse relationship between Yaakov and Esau. They cannot both thrive. When one is up, the other is necessarily down. And when the first is down, then the other one is up. They cannot both thrive at the same time. Esau's physical Gashmi success is inversely related and proportionally related to Yaakov's spiritual success. The more the Koil of Yaakov can be heard, necessarily the Yadayim of Esau are weakened. And at that point, Esau has no chance. So HaKoyel Kol Yaakov HaYadayim Yidei Esau doesn't just mean this is Yaakov talking with Esau's arms. It means the Koyel of Yaakov is how you negate the Yadayim of Esau. And the truth is, Rivka was told this right from the outset. When she struggled, by Yisroitza to Abonim Bekirbo, Vatelech Lidroish Es Hashem. So she goes to the God Lazar, she goes to Shem, and she says, what's happening over here? And she is told, Shnei Goyim Bebitneich, there are two nations awaiting to be born. Ula Oim Mila Oim Yemo. Verav Ya'avoid Soir. The greater one, the older one, will have to be enslaved to the younger one. Says the Medrash on that pasuk. Im zocha, if indeed Yaakov is zocha, then indeed Yaakov is soir. But if not, then not. So Rivka was told right from the outset, this is going to forever be the relationship, inversely proportionate relationship of Esau and Yaakov. When one thrives, the other one withers. When the first withers, then the opportunity for the other to thrive. And Esau himself was aware of this. When Yitzchak gives him the brachas, the second lot of brachas, and tells him, Va'al char b'cha tichye, you will live by the sword. But be'etochicha ta'avoy, but you'll have to be enslaved to your brother. Says the Meforshim, the Malbim, Im Yaakov Yaseik Batoiro, if Yaakov is Yaseik Batoiro, of Tichna Lefono, then you will be subdued in front of him, you have no chance. But this man, Sheyirpu Me'avodas Hashem, but when there is a slackening, a weakening of Avodas Hashem on Yaakov's part, then you will be victorious over him. So this relationship, the Gashmi versus the Ruchni, the Koil of Yaakov versus the Yadayim of Esau, was true then and is true forever. Rivka was told this before they were even born, and Esau was fully aware of this as well. This is what Yitzchak told him. You have no chance with your Yadayim of Esau as long as the Koil of Yaakov is strong. If you enter the Beit HaMedrash and you see and you hear the Koil of Yaakov, then the Yadayim of Esau have no potency whatsoever. Said Ramatisio, a Moyudik Kachat. Yaakov Avinu had just been under the wings of Yitzchak Avinu for years and years and years, and Esav wants to kill him. But he knows he can't, because Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Oyhorim. As long as Yaakov is in the Beis HaMedrash learning, he has no chance whatsoever, so he can't possibly kill him. Yaakov goes off to Lavan, and Esav cannot believe his luck. Oh, if Yaakov is with Lavan, it couldn't be better for me. Because surely, he thought, Lavan HaRasha will influence Yaakov in a negative way. He will not keep Torah or mitzvahs, and eventually the koil of the Yaakov will not be heard. That can be my chance then to go and kill him. But one moment. Yaakov's now on his way back, and he's going to be reunited with Yitzchak. So Yitzchak will once again influence him in a positive way. That's why this is the optimum moment for Esav to attack Yaakov. He didn't attack him any earlier. The longer with Lavan, the better. But I have to get him after he's been with Lavan, before he's reunited with Yitzchak. Because once again, if his connection is made with Yitzchak, then the koil of Yaakov will once again be heard. And the Yadayim of Esav therefore have no power. That, said Matisyo, is the reason why, of course, he could have gone to attack Yaakov in all the years preceding. He didn't choose to do so. The longer with Lavan, he thought, the better it is for me. The more he will necessarily split in his ruchnius, the koil of the Yaakov will be extinguished, and then my Yadayim, the Yadayim of Esav, will once again get koyach. But I have to attack him before he's reconnected and reunited with Yitzchak. That's how Rav Matisyahu explained the parasha, a tremendous insight, as it was, why this moment was the optimum moment for Esav to attack. If that's the case, then maybe it's possible to suggest a new understanding, and this will answer our first question. What did it mean when Esav said, I will wait for my father to die? Yikruvu yimei evel avi. And we asked, but in the end he did not wait for his father to die. So what happened? Was he impatient? Was there a change of plan? So it's true, Rashi says, and Rambam says, that the reason why he wanted to wait for his father to die was not to cause his father distress. But in light of Rav Matisyahu's explanation, maybe we can suggest a new understanding. It had nothing to do with distressing Yitzchak. The reason why he wanted to wait for Yitzchak to die was because then the influence of Yitzchak over Yaakov will be terminated. And that's when the koil Yaakov will no longer be heard. That's why he wanted Yitzchak out of the way, as it were. But if he hears that he's been with Lavan for over 20 years, then the job has been done. So now we can go and kill him. We ask, he said he's going to wait for his father to die. Why did he change his mind? He did not change his mind. He only wanted Yitzchak out of the way so as to cut off that positive influence over Yaakov to ensure that the koil Yaakov is not heard. But having been with Lavan for over 20 years, said Esav, it couldn't be better. This is the time to go and get it. Afterwards I saw, if you look in the Targum Yonasan, and the Pirush on the Targum Yonasan, he said so word for word before us. On that very pasuk, Yikruvu Yimei Evel Avi, he says, I'll wait for my father to die, Ma'oz Lo Yaseik B'Torah. And then he will not be Esek in Torah, the Magni Umatli. Torah is his protection. Once Yitzchak dies, he will no longer learn Torah. That will be my opportunity to attack. In light of this very important Yesod, I think we understand now a lot better the whole conversation, the whole shlichus that Yaakov sent in Pesach. When you open up the Chumash in the beginning of this week's Pasha, we're very surprised, L'chayra, with the message that he sent to Esau. Tell Esau, he instructed the Malachim, Im Lobon Garati, I have sojourned with Lobon. The famous Rashi, Garati Tariyad, 613. Tell Esau, Im Lobon Harosho Garati, it's true I was dwelling with Lobon, that Tariyag mitzvah is shomarti, that I kept the 613 mitzvahs, I did not learn from his evil ways. Why on earth would Yaakov want to tell that to Esau? Why on earth would Esau be remotely interested in whether Yaakov did or didn't keep Torah or mitzvahs? But according to the way we've just explained, it's Hafla Vofele. The message he was sending was, you've made a terrible mistake, Esau. You've assumed that because I've been with Lavan, the Koyel Yaakov is not to be heard, because I've probably been influenced by Lavan, and I'm not learning Torah. You couldn't have made a greater mistake. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's not true. Tariyad mitzvah shomariti, I did not learn from his ways. The Koyel Yaakov is as strong as it ever was. And therefore, the message he was relaying to Esau is you and your 400 men, with the Yodayim is Esau, you have no koyach. You're wasting your time. What was the introduction? Before he ever went to Lavan, he energized himself 14 years in yeshiva. That's the protection that he ensures, that's indeed how you deal with a Lavan. It's like the camel, kaviyotl, before he goes into the desert, he drinks and drinks and drinks. That's his energy for the next few weeks. So Yaakov energized himself with 14 years of uninterrupted Torah learning. That's how he was able to deal with Lavan, such that he could come back and say, those 14 years indeed stood me in good stead. I did not get influenced by Lavan in any way. And we understand, therefore, that before Esau eventually meets with Yaakov, the Torah describes that in the middle of the night, Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi, and there was an Ish, Vayeoved Ish Imoy, and we're told by Chazal, who was this Ish? This was the Tzoroi Shel Esau. This was Esau's Malach. Chazal teach us that this represents the Yetzer Hara, and the Kliyoka explains so beautifully. The Yetzer Hara in Chazal is compared to a fly, a zvum. We know the nature of the zvum is he buzzes around and around, and if he eventually finds there's a piece of cut flesh, that's when he attacks. If there's a piercer, that's the nature of the Yetzer Hara. He tries to find that opening. The Yetzer Hara over here, the story shall ace our thought. Can I find maybe some niche? Is there some opening in Yaakov Avinu's defense? He's representing Esau. What is Yaakov's spiritual standing? Maybe this is the time to attack after 20 years with Lavan. How mistaken he was. Vayar ki lo yochol loy. He was unable to do so. Why so? Says the Sforanu, L'roi Dveikusai B'keil Yizmorach, because he was dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he's connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his spiritual standing is strong, then the Koyel Yaakov is to be heard, and the Adayim of Esau have no koyach whatsoever. So that when he eventually returns, and the Torah says, Vayovoy Yaakov Sholem, Yaakov returned sholem, complete. What does it mean, complete? Says Rashi, he was sholem begufoy, in a physical way. The sholem betoirosoy, he was complete in his Torah. Sheloi shochah talmudoy bebeit Lavan. He did not forget his Torah in the house of Lavan. This is the recurring theme throughout the parasha. And in light of Rav Matisyahu's explanation, this all comes to light. The message that Yaakov is sending to Esav is, you are making a terrible mistake. I have not been influenced by Lavan in any way whatsoever. There is indeed no chink in my spiritual armor at all. Loi lo mabati mi maisav haroim. To the contrary, tariyad mitzvah shomarati. I'm sholein b'toyroh. The koil Yaakov is alive and well. The yadayim of Esav, therefore, have no koyach at all. And if this is true, then maybe we can add one more line of explanation. Because Yaakov said something else in his message. Vayehi shoyer b'chamoyer. I have an ox and a donkey. And the Medrash says, the ox is Yosef. The chamoyer is Yisachar. One second. Yaakov has 12 children. Why did he single out Yosef and Yisachar? And again, why would Esav be remotely interested in his family status at the time? Let me share with you what once happened with the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. There was once a meeting of Gedolei Yisrael to discuss the Vaad HaYeshivos, the situation of the yeshivas in Europe. And the Chofetz Chaim asked, he spoke there at this meeting, the God of Yisrael, and he asked at the time, why is it that the Malach fights against Yaakov? We do not find that he fights against Abraham or against Yitzchak. Why did he choose his battle against Yaakov? Said the Chofetz Chaim, Avraham Avinu is the Amud HaChesed and Yitzchak is Avodah, but Yaakov is the Tzemel of Torah. He attacked Torah. The Yitzhahara is happy to see Chesed and Avodah as long as there's no Torah. As long as there's no Torah. And he explained, you can be victorious in battle, but you haven't necessarily won forever. Why? Because the enemy, although vanquished for the moment, right, might return to fight another day. But how can I ensure that the enemy will never again return if I manage to wrestle away his weapons from him? But now he is powerless. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Klal Yisrael's weapon forever is the Koil Yaakov, the Torah. That's why the Malach attacked. He wanted to remove the weapons from Klal Yisrael. Our weapon is the Koil Yaakov. If that's the case, then perhaps that's what Yaakov was hinting to. Why did he single out Yosef and Yisachar? What's unique about Yosef and Yisachar? They are the two of the sons of Yaakov who represent the Torah. Chazal tell us that Yaakov taught Yosef everything he learned in Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eder. And Yisachar is, of course, the tribe of Torah. Yisachar Chamor Goreh. That's the message that he was once again relaying. Esav, you're trying to attack, but I have a Yosef, and I have a Yisachar. I'm laden with Torah. These are my two children of Torah. Neither have I been influenced with Lavan, nor have my children suffered. We have the Koil Yaakov strong forever. That's the message he was relaying. in Lobon Garity, I personally am shomeim the Torah. I did not get influenced by Lobon. So too my children, Yosef and Yisachar, who represent Limud Torah, are with me as well. The Koyel Yaakov is alive as well. And if that's the case, you have no chance. When Rav Isabel Mimosa wrote his colossal work, The Eben HaOgel, one particular volume of that work, the Chelek of Kodshim, was actually completed during the years of the Holocaust, and that's when it was published. And Rav Isser Zalman writes a phenomenal introduction to his sefer. And he says, Nigmar Sifri Zeh, this particular sefer of mine has been completed at a time when the world is inflamed. And you might well be asking the question, is this the time? Ha'im bo'eis kadois, is this the time to start printing stories on the halachas of karbonos? Ha'im ha'leiv ha'loi, has anybody got the peace of mind, the state of heart, to start learning a shtickle in the Eben HaOgel on Hilchos Kodshim? The MS says there, this is Avon Nemsa, Ein Kan Sheila. The question doesn't need an answer. It is in fact not a question at all, says Rav Isser Zalman. Dafke Be'ez HaNeiro HaGoyt, precisely at this time, on Tzrichim L'Chazeg B'Limud Torah, the water of the Torah will extinguish the flames of battle. To the contrary, he says, this is the most pertinent time to produce a sefer of this type. Because once again, if we're being surrounded by the goyim who are trying to attack, and the Yadayim and Yadayesov seem to be threatening, then our only defense mechanism is the Koyel Koyel Yaakov. This is precisely the right time to bring out a sefer like this. And interestingly, the other great God of the Yisrael at the time of Chaim Weizer Grudzinski, when he wrote his Tshuvas Achiezer, he also published them at wartime. And he also, in his introduction, writes exactly the same. Ha'im Shas Chelum Kadoit. Is this at an emergency hour, like the time we find ourselves in? Is this the time Lohitzoah Sforim, to publish Sforim? There's Chaim Weizer. Ze Koyach Yisrael Sabo. This is always has been the Koyach of Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, our grandfather. How so? Even when Cherev Chagor, even when the sharp sword is resting on the neck, our lives are on the line, but this has always been our way with Mitzchazik in Torah. Dimei Hashmar, V'Hagezeiros, V'Haredifos, V'Hatiltulim. Throughout our history, throughout torture and persecution, this has always been our weapon. The Koyel Yaakov, the Chizuk in Torah, the Yosef, the Yisachar, the Imlovon Garti, the 14 years of Shem Ve'eva, the Koyel Yaakov, that ultimately is what stands us in good stead against the enemy. And this all lies in those critical words, a Koyel Koyel Yaakov is Vayadayim Yidei Esau. Let me just finish with a wonderful story which really encapsulates everything we've discussed. As mentioned, even in those years during the Holocaust, it was the Koyach HaTorah, it was the Koyach HaTorah that was our defense mechanism. In fact, the Chazon Ish, said a phenomenal thing, that as long as Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Baruch Ben, the Grodno Rosh Hashiva and the Kamenitz Rosh Hashiva, as long as they were alive, it was their Torah that prevented the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, entering Lithuania. As history shows, it was only after they passed away that the enemy was able to attack. That's always been our Koyach. Not with guns, or soldiers, or with armies, but with the Torah of Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Baruch Ben. What a tragedy it is that even in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, this message is not even understood by the powers that be, thinking that the Koyach of Klal Yisrael rests in the strength of the army and the tanks and the most modern aircraft and bombs. Our Koyach lies in the Beit HaMedrash and in the Beit Knesset. If the Koyach Yaakov is strong, then the Yadayim Yidei Esau has no Koyach whatsoever. But let me just conclude. I heard this from a very chashuv Rav, Talmud Chacham, his name is Rav Shlomo Zafran. A Rav who lives in Yerushalayim, he has a shul in Beit Shemesh. He once said the following. He said when he was learning as a bocha in the Ponovitch Yeshiva, he said it was 1967 during the Six-Day War, and tension was rife. Nobody knew what would be the outcome of the war. And he said he was a bocha in the yeshiva, and every so often bocharim were running in and out of the Beis HaMedrash to their rooms to turn on their little transistor radio to hear the latest news. How was the war going? Was it turning in this direction, in that direction? Were Klal Yisrael being matriach? Were they not being matriach? And as you can well imagine, this caused a tremendous rifting, a great weakness in the learning of the Beit HaMedrash. People running in, people running out. Every few minutes, Bochum running out to turn on the radio to hear the latest news. The Bochum needed a chizuk, and who better to give them a chizuk and the great Mashkiach and Magid of Yankel Gavinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And as ever, Rav Yankel, with his tremendous derech kamusa and sense of humor, he explained to Bochra and he said to them as follows. This is the way Rav Shlomo Zafrani described, he was there at the time. Rav Yankel said, he addressed the Bochra and he said, I understand that in these very tense moments of war, Bochrim are continuously running out of the Beit HaMedrash to turn on the radio to hear the news. Said Rav Yankel, I want to tell you how absurd that is. Imagine, he said, there are two great generals of the army on the front line. And the war has now reached its most epic moment. And the generals now have to make the most major decision of this whole battle. Are they going to drop this bomb on the enemy or they're not? There are pluses and minuses, pros and cons, advantages, disadvantages, and they're weighing up. We should, we shouldn't, we should, we should. And there's tension there in the front line and in the battle and on the field and around the world. Everybody is waiting with bated breath. What will be the decision? And they cannot come to a conclusion. Should we bomb the enemy or should we not bomb the enemy? And eventually one of them says, I have a marvelous idea. Why don't we turn on the radio to hear what happens? The other says to him, how ridiculous that is. The radio, they're reporting there whatever we do. You're turning on the radio to listen to the news. We're making the news. There's no point turning on the radio to hear what decision we make. Whatever decision we make, that's what will be reported on the radio. Said Rav Yankel to the Bochrim, Rav Yankel Galinsky, the Chassadik Lubrocha, how ridiculous and absurd it is that you're running out of the Beit HaMedrash to turn on the radio to hear the news. In the Beit HaMedrash, that's where you're making the news. On the radio, what they'll report is how much learning there is in the Ponovitch Beit HaMedrash. That will dictate the outcome of the war. What do you think? Battle strategy. Soldier know-how. If the koil yatid is strong, then the yadayim mideyesov disappear. You're turning on the radio to listen to the news. Right here in the Beis HaMedrash, you're making the news. That's what he told the Bachrim. And this is precisely the limit of this week's parasha. As Rav Yisrael taught us, on the one hand, Esau thought that this was the optimum moment to go and attack. 20 years with Laban, he surely slipped up in his ruchnius. Let's go and kill him before he's reunited with Yitzchak, because surely the Koyel Yaakov is not to be heard. You are so mistaken, says Yaakov. In Lovon Garati, the Tariyad Mitzvah Shomarati, the Loyal Madati Mimaita Moroyim, I did not learn from his ways. The Koyel Yaakov is as strong as it ever was. The Sorei Shalesov in the night has no child, Lo Yochal Loy. He's Sholein the Teirosoi. He has the children, the Yoyisei, the Yisochah. He has 14 years of learning in Yeshiva Shein Ve'eva. That's the theme of this week's parasha. And of course, with Hanukkah only around the corner now, this time next week, indeed, it will be Hanukkah. That, of course, is the limit of the whole Hanukkah story. Why is it the Klal Yisrael were initially attacked? Because as the Bach tells us, his trashlu ba'avoido, because they were weak in their avoidah Hashem. The Koyel Yaakov was not so strong. But as the Bach, when they were moitza nefesh for the Torah and for the mitzvahs, the Koyel Yaakov was once again to be heard. Then Klal Yisrael was zeicha to nisim gelui. That's always been our story. And it's all about six words. A koil koil yakoi, you're dying in the Esau. It's either one or the other. If we are mechazik ourselves, we are mechazik the koil koil yakoi, then we indeed know that you're dying in the Esau and no koyak whatsoever. That is the limit of this week's parasha. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.